Welcome to our Unlimited Unloaded page. As promised, an extended version of the conference show. Details on plenty of basketball games coming your way, along with some audio I think you'll find interesting. Again, this show will be certainly solidly a good 15 minutes. Probably even some days we go a little bit longer on the Unlimited Unloaded page, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, because we're going to have so many more games to talk to you about. The weekends are going to be hectic. Crazy. You're going to have some schools with double figures in total of sports going on at once. Before we get into some basketball and some football, great stuff here, as this was one of the, of course, horrible portions of the pandemic as far as budgets and schools having to actually cut sports. Comes to mind Cincinnati's men's soccer program, for example. Well, East Carolina announced on Thursday that effective immediately, women's swimming and diving and women's tennis are back. Now, there's definitely a Title IX aspect to this story, as back in May is when men's and women's swimming and diving, men's and women's tennis, both were reduced by the school. It was very sad news at the time, of course. $5 million were the savings that were projected. Well, female athletes from the swimming and diving and tennis teams retained a lawyer in November for a potential Title IX lawsuit, with an attorney, Arthur Bryant, saying that the cuts were in flagrant violation of Title IX. And so, yes, a lot of this has to do with avoiding a potential lawsuit. But either way, here's the interim athletic director, John Gilbert.
Prior to announcing the elimination of men's and women's tennis and men's and women's swimming and diving teams, ECU engaged a Title IX consultant to advise the university on how to best address ECU's compliance with Title IX while addressing the financial issues. As you are aware, Title IX compliance requires universities to meet one of the three-pronged tests. We must meet prong one, or working towards prong one with proportionality, to make sure that both our male and female students enrolled is proportional to our overall representation of our student body. We did have an increase in our enrollment, female undergraduate enrollment this fall. Part of meeting that proportionality is managing the roster sizes of both our men's and women's sports. This will be and continue to be an ongoing process for our coaches. That process has certainly been disrupted with the extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA due to COVID. Equality in our athletics program and a commitment to compliance with Title IX are core values of this institution, our athletic department, and me personally. It's vital to the sustainability of ECU athletic programs that female athletes have real opportunities to compete in sports. Our commitment is to reinstate these two programs and continue to recruit student athletes at our university. As noted in the press release, we will work with the institution, a consultant, to develop this gender equity plan. This process of reinstatement will begin immediately. We will work to the hiring of staff, recruitment of student athletes, etc.
So there's that story. Then we have a lot of other stuff happening before we get to football and basketball. You know, while basketball is set right now, we know what's happening. Some other sports, we always know that softball, baseball begin in February, and in this unique year, we're going to have soccer and volleyball begin late Jan, early February. Well, tennis will be before that, and UCF, the really strong women's team, went ahead and announced its dual match schedule. A lot of teams from the state of Florida, which makes sense. People are going to go more regional. They are part of the ITA kickoff weekend, which is reserved for the top 32 teams in the country this year. That's January 24th and 25th. But their regular season will begin January 29th at home, and they actually play off campus because there's something called the USTA National Campus, about a 30-minute drive from school. It's an unbelievable facility, a national championship hosting type facility. January 29th, they'll play the Florida Gators, and they actually play them again the next weekend in Gainesville. So they're starting on the 29th. And the Tulane women's team announced their schedule, and it's going to begin even sooner. They will start on Thursday, January 21st, so in less than 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, around the same time frame is when the Bulls are going to get it going, so be ready for that. Wichita State on the men's side, starting even sooner. January the 14th, going to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State. That's next week. So we are going to have the start of the sports spring schedule next week. Baseball is still a way off, but got to mention Perfect Game, an outstanding college baseball publication, has predicted East Carolina as its number 13 team in the country. Now on to what happened last night at the College Football Awards. He deserves all the awards. We know how good he is. Tulsa's Zaven Collins wins for Best Defensive Player. Chuck Bednarik Award. The other finalists were from Notre Dame and Alabama. He had also won the Bronco Nagurski Trophy. He is unbelievable and will certainly be a high draft pick, at least you think he will, in the NFL. The William Campbell Trophy, which takes into account not just your performance on the football field, but in academics, community service, and our own Trent Schneider, Bulls punter, was a candidate for it, was actually won by Memphis senior quarterback Brady White.
This award was something at the beginning of the season, I really wanted to be a part of, and it means a lot to me. So to finally, hear the good news and know that I'm the winner of it, I can't be more honored, more blessed, and more grateful to represent this prestigious award and to be welcomed into this special fraternity.
And Brady White could have come back actually for a seventh season at Memphis, but is going to explore his pro career. Big news on Friday that Desmond Ridder, who was the first team all-conference quarterback and naturally led Cincinnati into a New Year's Six game, is coming back for his last year of eligibility. So the Bearcats got a major, major boost. And briefly back to Memphis, the Tigers announced on Friday the addition of Drew Svoboda as their new special teams coordinator. He just finished his third season with the Rice Owls. Now on to the week's basketball contests. Nothing on Monday and Tuesday. Again, the Memphis-UCF game didn't get played. And in fact, it is now going to be, and this is not the first time this has happened, part of a back-to-back situation. It's been rescheduled from Orlando to Memphis for February the 1st, and then those teams will play again 2 days later. So essentially, not essentially, in actuality, UCF, which was the party, if you want to say, responsible for COVID in the situation, loses that home game as a result. And then UCF and Tulsa were supposed to play tomorrow. Not going to happen. They haven't announced the new date for it. They have for Temple and SMU. It has been moved from Sunday to Monday. SMU, incidentally, what a tough loss and what a big win for Cincinnati. And it shows you how tough the conference is. Bearcats were 0-3, 2-6, and looked like they were headed for 0-4, while SMU looked like it was headed for 7-1. But the Bearcats with a big second-half comeback, and they win 76-69. Kind of a misleading final score, as Cincinnati was actually losing with about 2 minutes to go. Keith Williams scored 8 of his 12 points during a 20-6 run to end the game. His basket with about 2 minutes to go gave them the lead. Then Williams feeds Terry Eason for a dunk. SMU gets a 3-point tying try blocked. Cincinnati up by 5, and it disintegrated completely there for SMU, which had a American Athletic Conference assist in a game record from Kendrick Davis with 14 points. But Cincinnati came back to win a career-high 4 three-pointers from Micah Adams-Woods, as Cincinnati had a season-high in threes with 10. Also happens to be the Bearcats' 100th victory in the American. And really only two other games all week. You know about USF Tulsa. The other one on Wednesday saw Houston, no surprise, defeat Wichita, 70-63. Shockers fall to 6-3, while Houston goes to 9-1. Quentin Grimes, 20 of his 22 points in the second half. Wichita had won 5 in a row, and Tyson Etienne was great again with 25 points and 8 rebounds. So looking at the standings, two teams at 4-1, but since Tulsa beat Houston, you have to say the Golden Hurricane are your leader right now. Two teams at 2-1, Wichita State and Memphis, then SMU's in fifth at 2-2, again 6-2 overall. The Bulls in sixth place going into their meeting with East Carolina on Saturday. East Carolina, Tulane, and UCF, three-way tie for seventh place, all at 1-2, and then Cincinnati. Yeah, they're in 10th, but they're feeling pretty good at 1-3, and Temple just has only played a few games this year, sitting at 0-2. This weekend's scheduled games, only a few of them outside of ours. It's Tulane at Houston and Cincinnati at Wichita. Again, so many teams having to move things around due to COVID. So the schedule as it looks right now certainly will be changing almost on a daily basis. And speaking of that, as we turn our attention to the women's side of things, it happened. I wasn't surprised to see it at all. Basically, after what we saw on Wednesday with Wichita State only having 7 players, you really think about it, it's kind of surprising that they traveled to Tampa to play the Bulls. Well, on Friday, Wichita State's women's basketball program announced it is pausing all team activities within the program. They were supposed to play East Carolina on Saturday. The Shockers won't be able to play that one. Their January 13th game next week at Memphis, same thing. And honestly, we've already had one program in the conference, that being SMU, have to fold up this season. While not predicting that for the Shockers, unfortunately, you got to think about that as a possibility. Right now, it is a 9-team situation. Again, SMU no longer part of the proceedings. Wichita State, by the way, 0-3 in the league. Memphis is also at 0-3 and 2-6 overall. The Bulls are atop the league, 5-0, looking to go to 6-0 for the first time ever in their history. That's Saturday night when they host Houston. UCF and Temple are both at 3-0. Temple posting a big road victory on Wednesday, as except for Wichita and Tampa, the other 3 road teams all won. Temple pushing East Carolina into 4th place. Remember, the Pirates were off to that 3-0 start, gave the Bulls everything they could, and I figured they would bounce back against Temple, but we should start talking about the Owls. Again, they were slow to start the season. They had really strong pre-conference schedule, and it really worked out because now they're winning these league games. 66-57 in Greenville on Wednesday. This one went back and forth the entire way. In fact, it was just a 1-point game early on in the 4th quarter, and then the Owls started to pull away. They were not bothered by the East Carolina pressure defense. They've got some skilled ball handlers, and one of them that we have to mention we haven't yet, I know, at all on these airwaves, and that is Joshua Clinton, who was the Virginia High School Player of the Year last year. She had 9 assists in this game, and she was one of those, again, Owls who handled that East Carolina pressure pretty well. Yes, 15 turnovers, but remember, East Carolina forces more than 20 turnovers per game. Clinton did have 5 of them, but again, kind of made up for it with the 9 assists. They were just 4 of 17 on 3-point shooting, but basically 50% once they got it inside the arc. And Alexa Williamson, 7 for 9, 19.7 rebounds. She is outstanding. Mia Davis, who's also great, a double-double machine. Sure enough, 17 and 11. They actually both fouled out in this game, so it was kind of a hot contest. On the other side, LaShonda Monk, 17 points, 4 of 5 on threes. But she only had 2 steals, which is below her average. Hard to believe that, huh? And they held Sierra DaCosta, who has really been their second leading scorer, down to just 3 points. So the Pirates on a little bit of a slump now after such a great start in the conference. The other 2 road victors, Tulane now 6-3 overall, tied with Houston at 2-2 in the conference after dropping the Cougars 76-62. Again, this game was pretty close at halftime, but then Tulane really earned the victory with a 23-10 third quarter performance, and Crystal Freeman has been coming on for them. Missed all of her 3-point attempts, made all 10 of her 2-point attempts, 10 of 14, 20 points, and Dinah Jones, how about 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists, a 19-0 run around halftime, and that will certainly do the trick. And the other road winner, got to say, a little surprised after how Tulsa struggled against the Bulls and how Cincinnati, you thought, might be starting to turn things around. Tulsa goes to Cincinnati, opens up the first quarter 16-8, and just sort of hangs on the rest of the way. 62-57 was the final score. Yvette Mayberry, the freshman, with a career high for her, 20 points, and another freshman, Jessica Evans, who really hadn't performed well of late, and frankly a non-factor against the Bulls, 13 points with 9 rebounds. Now, Cincinnati did get it to 2 with 3 minutes left. Tulsa's only won 2 games this year. I guess that's their MO. Get up by 16 and then let your opponent get right next to you and then hold them off, because they did that, if you'll recall, to start the season at Oklahoma State, which incidentally is the Big 12 leader at 4-0, 8-2 overall. One of their 2 losses was to Tulsa, which led in Stillwater by 16 points at the end of the first quarter. Oak State cut it to 1 before Tulsa won that game. Well, I guess that's what they did, the same thing against Cincinnati, which got 24-12 from Amari Thomas, but not enough in the defeat. As full of a slate as it can be on Saturday, it was supposed to be, of course, 5 games, everyone in action but SMU, which is, again, not playing the rest of the season. But now no Wichita ECU means there are 2 games in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, 2 games at 7 o'clock. Of course, we'll give you a full rundown of those games during our broadcast live from the Yuengling Center on Saturday night. The 2 o'clock 2 o'clock game, interesting. Tulane at Cincinnati, UCF at Temple, the two 3-0 teams playing each other. So we know that after Saturday's action, there will be only one or two undefeated teams left in the conference. Let's plan on having it be two because, of course, the loser of the UCF-Temple game will be one that is no longer undefeated. And alongside our game, Memphis will be at Tulsa. That's going to do it for this version of Around the American. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.